Okay, today we're in 2 Samuel chapter 15, and we're going to look at the rebellion of Absalom. David sinned with Bathsheba, and he had everything going for him. He had the unity of the country. I mean, it was a model kingdom. God was blessing him. He sins with Bathsheba, and then it's a downward slope after that. He got forgiven, but he still had to deal with the consequences of the sins. And the sin that he had committed in secret, his son commits in public with all of David's concubines, which is forbidden by the law, and it spread to actually a rebellion of the people, a civil war, if you would. And that's what we're looking at today. The treason begins. David is in the palace and stuff's going on in the kingdom he doesn't know about. And remember, his son Absalom has killed his brother, or his half-brother Amnon, who was... he was the firstborn and he was the heir to the throne. Now Absalom is the heir to the throne, but he doesn't want to have to wait for David to die, because who knows how long that's going to be. And so he decides to take matters into his own hands. Now, you have to give Absalom credit. He's a slick one. If you're going to take over a kingdom from a successful king, you better have your stuff together. And it is almost satanic the way Absalom can manipulate affairs under David's nose without David knowing anything about it. It's incredible. And if it hadn't been for God, he would have done away with David and his kingdom. If it hadn't been for God. The treason begins. That's the first point. After this, it happened. Now, after this is that, remember when David and Absalom met and he saw his face and they had reconciled? Okay? That act of reconciliation? Well, Absalom is, his heart is not reconciled with David. He's plotting for himself. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses. David had not had a royal entourage like this. In fact, God said that the king was not to multiply horses. And 50 men to run before him. Now, he's in horses. These guys must be pretty fit. 50 men. That's a bodyguard. Somebody important's coming. You remember when God was warning Israel when they wanted a king like the nations, he said that king, once he is in, will impress your sons and your daughters and they will be his slaves. Well, here you go. And 50 men to run before him. Now, Absalom would rise up early and stand beside the way to the gate. That's the gate leading to the city of Jerusalem, palace. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" He's interested in them personally. And then he would say, "Your servant is from such and such a tribe in Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right, but there's no deputy of the king to hear you. You know, David's busy with other things. You don't have anybody that's going to represent you." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, if I were only made a judge in the land." Now, he's not telling people, "I'm planning to be king." He's saying, "Oh, if I could just be a judge in the land, everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice." What's he really saying? What's he saying vis-a-vis David? Well, it is a sly way, but I mean, he says, if I were made a judge, people would come to me and I would give him justice. What's he really saying? David's not giving you justice. There's nobody to hear your case. All right, now, this guy has already shown personal interest in them. He wants to know where they're from, what tribe they're from. He said, you know, if I were a judge, I'd make sure that you got justice. You know what he's doing? He's politicking. He's running for office. Vote for Absalom. Now, he's also lying like Kmart rug. Yeah, Absalom 2020. Yep. And he's stealing hearts of the people, what he's doing. But of course David's got people in there who will hear. Okay? Absalom's lying. He's saying there's nobody to hear your case. Sure there are. But these people are going to turn around and go back home, and they're going to say, well, we really need to make Absalom a judge, because David, he's busy with other things. And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him. Now, that's what you do to a king, okay? He won't let them do that. When they came to bow down to him, he would put out his hand. He'd shake the hand, kiss the babies. It doesn't say that. I was politicking. He would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. He's making him family. You know, that's a kiss of affection on both cheeks. And he says, in this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel. I mean, he's doing this to people from all the tribes who are coming to David because it's a united kingdom.
And he makes it believable.
Yeah. Well, you know, David, he's high and lifted up, but Absalom, you know, I can. He shook my hand. He gave me a kiss. He said, if he was a judge, he'd make sure I got justice. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for justice. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it came to pass after 4 years that Absalom said to the king, please, let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. Hey, what's wrong with that? You're supposed to act on it quickly. He's had years. If he made a vow to the Lord, that should let you know something's up. He's not going down there to make a vow to the Lord. He's going down there to, it's going to be his headquarters in the rebellion. But he tells David that he's going to go down and he's made a vow to the Lord. And he's going to pay it. Now it came, he said, for your servant took a vow while I dwelt at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord, and he uses YHWH, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. Well, David, in his better days, is a very pious man. What's wrong with this? Is he going to let him go? Yeah. Why would he not believe him? He's reconciled now. So the king said to him, go in peace. David just undermined his own kingdom right there. So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel. This is a spy network, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the shofar, that's a military signal, a trumpet, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. You know what this is? This is high treason. And with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. Now, these are David's men, And he's going with 200 people from Jerusalem. But when the coup starts, they're not going to be in Jerusalem to help David. And they're innocent of this. They don't know what's going on. He's getting them out of Jerusalem so that when the coup starts, David is going to be isolated. All right? You got to say this is a pretty slick plan. He's got spies in all the tribal areas. He's won the hearts of the people. It's been going on for years. Says, then Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor. Now, Ahithophel the Gilonite is David's trusted counselor. All right? He's also Bathsheba's grandfather. Does he have any score to settle with David? Well, he might, because his granddaughter was pulled into an adulterous affair. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from this city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. David doesn't know a thing about this. He thinks that Absalom's just gone down there to pay a vow to the Lord. And if you make a vow to the Lord, you've got to pay it. And he's going to go down there. Business as usual with David. Point number two, David is forced to flee. Now a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. You know what that means? The army's behind Absalom. The hearts of the men of Israel. That's the army. It's King David. You don't have an army anymore. The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. So David and all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem. Now, David's not a dummy. He's a man of war. He knows the jig's up. And so David says, arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. He's got the army. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. So David's getting out of Jerusalem partly to save Jerusalem. He's not fortifying it against Absalom. In fact, he's going to leave some of his concubines in charge of the palace. When he leaves, he's not pretending to set up an armed defense. So the king's servants said to the king, we are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands. Then the king went out with all his household after him. The royal palace, they fled. But the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. And the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at the outskirts of Jerusalem. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Kerethites, all the Pelethites. Now these are his royal guard. They're groups of men from the same area. They fight well together. And all the Gittites. Now, these guys are Gentiles. They're Gittites. 600 men who had followed him from Gath. Who's from Gath? Goliath. Yeah, these are guys from Goliath's hometown. They're not Israelites at all, but they're a bodyguard and they're protecting David. 600 of them. They passed before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, he's the one who's over them. He's their leader. He said, why are you going with us? Return and remain with the king. Who's the king? Absalom. David's calling Absalom king. Return and remain with the king. You are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. In fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today since I know not where? since I go, I know not where, return and take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you. But Ittai answered the king and said, this reminds me a little bit of Ruth. He says, as the Lord lives, he's making an oath on the name of the Lord. As the Lord lives, as my Lord the King lives, surely in whatever place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. It's kind of like what Peter said in the garden, you know, I'll die with you. And then the rooster crowed and he ran from a handmaid. David said to Ittai, go and cross over. Then Ittai the Gittite and all his men and all the little ones who were with him crossed over. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron. Who crossed over the brook Kidron? The night he was betrayed, he crossed the brook Kidron and he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. David is crossing the brook Kidron. He's going to go over the Mount of Olives and he's going to get the road. He's going to go down to Jericho. He's going to go over there where it's safe, out in the wilderness. And he's got little ones with him. He's fleeing for his life. There was Zadok also. Now, Zadok is that trusted priest who's with him. And all the Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. And the king said to Zadok, carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. He's talking about the temple. But if he says thus, well, he's talking about the tabernacle at that point. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you. If God's abandoned me, here I am. Let him do to me as seems good to him. The king also said to Zadok, the priest, aren't you a seer? Aren't you a prophet? Return to the city in peace and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, your son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. David's setting up a spy network. Zadok and his two sons, Ahimaaz and Jonathan, are going to be there in Jerusalem, and they'll get word to David what's going on. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carry the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remain there. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. Guess who came from the top of the Mount of Olives going down into Jerusalem and wept at the same place? Who? Jesus. It's the same place. The Roman Catholics have built a prayer chapel there called the Lord Wept, Dominus Flevit. It's shaped like a tear. It's blue. It's got white accents. And I've never actually been in it, but I've sat in the garden around it. It is a very nice place. If you ever go to Jerusalem, get your tour guide to take you there and sit out there, because that's the place where David was weeping, fleeing from Jonathan. That is the place, or fleeing from Absalom, and that's the place where Jesus wept over the city. He had his head covered and he went barefoot. He's pretty tough, but he's in mourning. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went up. Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. You've lost your main counselor, your Secretary of State has gone with the conspirators. He's with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now God's going to answer that before this is out. Turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. But David's not trusting in men. He's not trusting in the Gittites. He's not trusting in his strength. He's trusting in God. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain. You know who's going to touch on the top of the Mount of Olives and split it in two? Jesus is. And there's a Russian Orthodox church up there that Lane Rittmeyer told me there was an earthquake in 1978 and split the foundation of that church from east to west. That's my idea of a church split. That mount's set to go. Jesus touches on top when he returns. The mountain separates. And those Jews who are being held captive by the Antichrist are going to flee through the mountain. God split the sea, he's going to split the mountain. That is a very interesting place on the top of that mountain. And there's a little road that goes from the top of the mountain down the backside through Bethphage, and there are olive groves, and it's restored back to the time of the Romans where you got brush on each side to keep the animals out of the street, and you're walking on a dirt road, the same road that David and Jesus walked. Get somebody to take you down there. It goes to Bethany. It's a good little walk, but it's worth it. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God. There was Hushai the Archite. Now here's his true counselor right here. All right, he's coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, "If you go on with me, you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so will I also now be your servant, then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me." And do you know what he does? He does just that. "Do you not have Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, with you there? Therefore it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house..." You know what he's doing? He's getting a spy in the palace of Absalom. He's setting up a spy network. That's what you do in war. "Therefore it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house you will tell to Zadok and Abiathar, his priests." The priests. "Indeed, they have there with them two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them you shall send me everything you hear." This is like the Culper ring that George Washington had during the Revolution. Spy network. "So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem." Absalom's taken the capital. Point number three, treachery and weariness. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, now he's going down through Bethphage, he's going down toward Bethany, there was Ziba, the servant. You remember Ziba when Mephibosheth, he had come and David had given all of Saul's property to Mephibosheth, and Ziba was kind of the one that was, he was kind of in charge of it. Here he is. He's going to get it all right now, Ziba. All right, Mephibosheth, Ziba.
Ziba.
There was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddle donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisin, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. It's bow time. But it's not Mephibosheth time. He's bringing them food. Two donkeys full of food. You think they're glad to see that? I reckon. Now, they've only been 3/4 of a mile. And the king said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with these? So Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat. You think teenagers are hungry?
Yeah.
If they'd had pizza, he'd had a whole donkey full of pizza. The Italians hadn't invented it yet. Summer fruit for the young men to eat, and wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. Then the king said, and where is your master's son? David said, well, okay, where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said to the king, oh, he's staying in Jerusalem. For he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. He wants to become king himself. So the king said to Ziba, here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. He just gave the whole inheritance of Saul to Ziba because he's trying to cut the legs out from under Mephibosheth because David's in a hurry and he's not going to check to see if this thing's true or not. And Ziba gets it all. And so Ziba said, I humbly bow before you that I may find favor in your sight, O King. My Lord, O King. Point number four, disrespect to David. Saul's family has just about been wiped out, but there are still some who are loyal to King Saul, and they think that David was a usurper. And so when King David came to Bahurim, this is a ravine leading down to the Jordan Valley. What they don't say here is this is going down to Jericho. It's really rough country here. And he says, when David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came. He's cursing David. And he threw stones at David. Now, this is symbolic, like you need to be stoned for what you did to Saul, you know. So this is political opposition right here. And he threw stones at David and all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Now, David's got some really rough fellows with him. And Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you man of bloodshed, you worthless person. Now, I'm not suggesting you watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but it's the French, you know, that they get up there and he says, I seek the grail. He says, we've already got one and it's a very nice. Now go away or we shall curse you again. Come out, you man of bloodshed, you worthless person. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you're caught in your own evil because you are a man of bloodshed. But the king said, what do I have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse. because the Lord has said to him, curse David. And who then shall say, why have you done so? He's taking it. He's taking the insult because he says, I deserve it. Is David humble or what? Mm-hmm. Is he seeking revenge? No. See, that's how you know what's in a person. It's not when everything's going great. When everything's going against you, that's when you know what's in a person. Anybody can bless God in the garden. God needs people who will bless him in the wilderness. David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son who came from my own body seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite seek my life? Leave him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction and the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. What did Jesus say to do when somebody cursed you? Bless them. Is David acting like Jesus? Yes, he is. Who's David looking to? He's looking to the Lord. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him, cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and kicked up dust. You ain't heard the last of Ernest T. Bass. Kicking up dust, throwing dirt at him, throwing stones. Point number five, evil counsel. Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, there's the army, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel, that's David's prime minister, was with him. And so it was when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. You know what he's saying there? What king's Hushai talking about? There's irony here. Now, irony is not the opposite of wrinkly. Irony, he's saying, long live the king. In his heart, David is the king. May the king live long. But Absalom is going to think he's showing loyalty. You know, I've got another one in my pocket here, you know. Long live the king, long live the king. So Absalom said to Hushai, is this your loyalty to your friend, David? Why did you not go with your friend? Hushai said to Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, has the Lord chosen Absalom? Nope. Whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, so will I be in your presence. What's he really saying? I'm going to be a spy in your palace. That's what he's saying. Well, he's telling the truth. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, David's son? They don't even say David's name, by the way. He says, as I have served in your father's presence, so I will be in your presence. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what we should do. All right, what do we do next? Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house. Now, he left 10 of them. And all Israel will hear that you were abhorred by your father, then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. All right, he's basically telling Absalom to break the law of God and to take David's concubines as his own. Up on the palace, what David did in secret with Bathsheba, Absalom is going to do in public before all Israel. And so, this is the point of no return. That means all the people who are following you will be strong because David can't kiss and make up now. this is going to be crossing the Rubicon, you know. That's a historical allusion to when Caesar crossed the Rubicon. They already had a Roman army in Rome. When Caesar crossed the Rubicon, they've got two armies, and they're going to fight to the death. It means the die is cast. We can't turn back now. That's what Ahithophel counsels. So they pitched a tent for Absalom at the top of the house, and Absalom went in to his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now, according to Leviticus 20:11, this is the death penalty for Absalom. All right? This is evil counsel. Now, the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was just as if one had acquired the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now, God didn't tell him that, but he's got that reputation. That's what we're saying. Moreover, now, Ahithophel is going to do a military thing now. He's going to plan strategy. He says, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him when he is weary and weak, make him afraid, and all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you see, David, all the people will be at peace." All right, 12,000 men, quick strike, decapitate. It's an assassination plot. Kill David when he's weary and weak. Everybody will flee, and I'll bring them all back. You can make nice to them, and you'll have the whole country behind you. Quick. Quick and cheap. And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. There's a Sanhedrin. Then Absalom said, all right, now, point number six. That was false counsel. Now, true counsel. Now, Absalom said, "Let us call Hushai the Archite also and hear what he says too." Which isn't, you know, let's get another diagnosis here. And so Hushai came to Absalom. Absalom spoke to him saying, "Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up." Well, what's he going to say? Hushai said to Absalom, "The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time." Now, don't look down, just look up. What's wrong with Ahithophel's plan? 12,000 handpicked men coming upon David, and everybody with David's going to flee. What's wrong with that? Might work. He wouldn't say it if he didn't have a chance. But what's wrong with it? Who has David got with him? He's got handpicked. Those are tough guys. He's got shock troops around him. Does David, is he a tested man of war? Is he a military commander? These people aren't going to run. They're going to fight. And the first people who go in, these shock troops, they're going to be wasted. And everybody's going to say, oh, Absalom's men are just being slaughtered. That's not going to be good PR, King Absalom. You got to listen to both sides here. So he says, the advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time because, said Hushai, you know your father and his men. They are mighty men. They are enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. You don't want to be between a mama bear and her cubs, okay? He says, your father is a man of war. He's not going to camp with the people. Surely by now he's hidden in some pit or some other place, and it will be when some of them are overthrown at first that whoever hears it, now he's talking about some of them, the shock troops that Ahithophel won't send in, that the people will hear it and say, there's a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore, I advise you, all right, now, let's not do that. Here's what we need to do. Now, he's giving Absalom the seeds for his own destruction here. All right? David sent him to confound the advice of Ahithophel, and that's exactly what he's doing. He says, I advise you that all Israel be fully gathered to you. You've got to have unity here. From Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude. You need more. You need more than 12,000. You need the whole army of Israel, every tribe represented. And he said, and you go to battle in person. You need to lead them personally, King Absalom. So we will come upon him, David, in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls upon the ground. And of him and the men who were with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he is withdrawn into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to the city. We will pull it into the river until there's not one small stone found there. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. Now we're talking total war here. Scorched earth, no survivors. For the Lord had proposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. When Hushai said to Zadok, then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar, these are the fathers of the spy network, okay? Thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, thus and so I have advised. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over. You need to get the Jordan behind you, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. In other words, militarily, you don't want to have to fight this force with your back to the river. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at En-Rogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant, we don't know her name, would come and tell them, and then they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a boy saw him and told Absalom. Now he's got a spy network too. Both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, and he had a well in his court, and they went down into the well. Then the woman, the wife of the house, took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. When Absalom's servants came to the woman, now Absalom's got his people and his deputies, and they come to this farm. They said, where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And she said, they've gone over the water brook. They've crossed the river. If you hurry, you can find them. And when they had searched, they could not find them. They returned to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass after they had left, they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said, arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you. So David and all the people arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. David got away. When Ahithophel saw that his advice had not been followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. He put his household in order, hanged himself, and died. and he was buried in his father's tomb. And David went to Mahanaim. Now, what they don't say here is they have gone to Jericho, 20 miles, a drop of 3,700 feet on one of the worst roads in the world. When David went to Mahanaim and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and the men of Israel with him. Absalom and the army are coming after him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. Joab's still loyal to David, so he's got another general. Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite who had gone in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Jeruiah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Now, you know when David says in the 23rd Psalm, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." This is the background. David and his men are weary. They've been a hard road. They've got an army following them. They need sustenance. They need help. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gilead from Rogelim brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep, there's your meat, and cheese of the herd, sheep, cheese, for David and the people were with him to eat, for they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." So David and his people are feasting at a safe spot. The next thing that happens is Absalom is going to be killed by Joab. Oh, by the way, that guy who was throwing rocks at David, his name was Shimei. He's going to be killed by Solomon. David's enemies are going to be wrapped up. God is going to give a victory. Because David deserves it? No, because God keeps his promises. What do we make of this? Be like Christ. Do not seek retaliation. Be humble and meek and trust in the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Avenge not yourselves, David's descendant, Jesus said, but give place unto wrath. Number two, seek the Lord and true counsel, reject false counsel. Now, false counsel can mask as true counsel. The Lord knows the hearts, but you need to seek true counsel, godly counsel. And you need to reject ungodly counsel. Submit to God's will for your life, even if it means suffering. Remember, David sent the ark back into Jerusalem, and he said, "If the Lord's will, we'll go back and see the ark there in the temple." He's trusting his way to the Lord, okay? And he is ready to be punished by the Lord and cursed if he deserves it. Well, we all deserve that. But because of Jesus, we get more than we deserve. And in this particular, David is very much like Jesus. He's suffering. He's suffering with his people. And he's trusting in the Lord alone to bring him out of this valley. Let's close with a prayer. Father, we commit this week to you. We pray that it would be used for your glory. Help us not to seek retaliation or hatred, but to give place unto wrath help us to be kind even to our enemies and bless those who curse us, for there are many. Help us to commit our case to you through Jesus our Lord. Amen.